word will give you wisdom for tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. What a blessing it is to have you with us today. We hope that our program is a blessing to you. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of John with Jesus in the upper room. And Lord willing, we may be concluding this study again, beginning a new study next week. Now, if you'd like to go back and hear the previous Bible studies in this series, you can find them at our website at www.considerhisword.org. You'll find all of the programs there. Click on the link that says Radio Programs. Now also while you're there, click on the link that says Contact Us. And if you'll write to us and give us your name and address, we are, during this series, giving out little Gospel of Johns. These are little pocket-sized Gospel of Johns. I would encourage everyone to read the Gospel of John. And so you can notify us that you'd like to receive one of these at the website, or you can write to us at Consider His Word Ministries, P.O. Box 550456 in Davie, Florida, 33355. Again, Consider His Word Ministries, P.O. Box 550456 in Davie, Florida, 33355. We'd love to hear from you. And when you write to us, let us know the radio station where you're hearing this broadcast today. As Jesus is concluding His thoughts and concluding His words to the disciples in the upper room, He tells them, reminds them of about three or four things. And I want to try to get to all of these today. And so we're going to go through them fairly quickly. Now, Jesus had already told them about prayer. He had told them about the Spirit of God that would come and be with them and be in them. He is telling the disciples how He would be make Himself known to them. And at the end of John chapter 14, they leave the upper room and they begin walking down through the Kidron Valley through a vineyard, or what we might call it, think of a garden where there would be grapevines. And we'll talk about that more next week when we get to that. But now Jesus says to them, and He's reminding them that He would be with them, that He would not leave them. Jesus knows the anxiety that's in their heart. The beginning of the chapter, He told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And He knows that their hearts are troubled and that they're a little concerned. I've been calling it separation anxiety, because He's told them, "I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come." And then He's telling them, "I'll come back," and He's promising that He would be with them and that they would be with the Father. And when Jesus told them that He would make Himself known to him, Judas, not Iscariot, had a question. He said, "How is it that Thou manifest Thyself to us and not to the world?" Jesus gave him a couple of answers. He said, "It's because you love Me." Let me read the verses. We're picking up in John now, 14, beginning at verse 23. He said, "If a man love Me, he'll keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings, and the word which he hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me." Notice that it had to do with faith. He's saying that if you're not keeping My sayings, if you're not believing My sayings, then you won't be with us. But because you love us and you obey us. Notice how now he equates himself with the Father. He said, we will come to him. Whether in the rapture or in the second coming or whenever it is, we would be together with the Lord. And then Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, yet being present with you, I'm here now. Now, I've been telling you these things, but when I go away, we pick up in verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So Jesus gives them again, reminds them about the promise of the Spirit of God that would teach them. You know, they're not totally understanding, but I believe he's saying here that when the Spirit of God comes, you will understand. The Spirit of God will teach you these things. And he's going to call things to your remembrance. In fact, later, after the resurrection, several times we read what the Scripture says, and they remembered his saying. They remembered what he said. And the Spirit of God would remind them. And Jesus is kind of wrapping up the things he has told them. And very quickly, he gives them several things. First of all, he reminds them that the Spirit of God would help them. And certainly the Spirit of God helps us understand the Scripture. When we open the Bible, we ought to pray. I pray before these programs that God would give me insight into the Scripture, but also give you insight into his Word. That God would help you understand. The Spirit of God leads us in the Word of God. The Spirit of God will help us remember the things that he said. And then Jesus said, beginning in verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, he's trying to comfort them and encourage them. And so he's saying, first of all, peace. Peace for their troubled spirits. Jesus knew their hearts. He knew they were concerned. He knew they were worried. He knew they were afraid. And he says, now, I'm going to give you my peace. And they have seen his peace in action. They've seen his peace before. They saw his peace when he calmed the storm and he said, peace, be still. He saw his peace in the swarm of people. They've seen his peace in the attacks of the enemies, and they would see his peace in the crucifixion. He says, it's going to be my peace I give to you. Not the peace that the world gives. And this was not a peace in the sense of no more war, but it's in a sense of peace of knowing God's presence and knowing that God's got this and that God can handle this. And as we learn from the Spirit of God and we learn by the power of the presence of God, he said, I'm going to give you my peace. This is a peace that the world doesn't have. You see, the world's peace is temporary. It would come and go. The world's peace is shaky. The world promises a peace that they really can't give you. But now Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give I unto you. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. You're going to have my peace in you. Again, he encourages them to calm their heart down. He said, you've heard in verse 28, you've heard how I said to you, I go away. You've heard me say that and come again to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. He gives them this promise. He says, as he pledges his peace, it's because of his presence. That the coming of Christ ought to be comforting words. He said, if you really understood, if you knew my peace, you would rejoice when I said I'll be coming again. And rather than being troubled, you would rejoice. My going away is my home going. I'm going to the Father. And when I go to the Father, he told them early in this chapter, that's where you'll be also. He said, my Father is greater than I. It's not a means that the Father is more God than Jesus. But you see, Jesus had humbled himself and was obedient to the Father. And through his death and burial and resurrection, and his ascension, he would soon return to the Father. And this should be cause for rejoicing that we would be together again. Jesus knew that he would soon return to the Father, to his rightful throne at the right hand of God. And for them, it represented their salvation and a place Jesus called my Father's house, and that they would be there as well. He says, I've told you before. He says, I'm telling you now that you would believe it, that you would believe me. You see, it came down to a matter of faith. I told you these things that when they would come to pass, you might believe. And you realize that many of the disciples really didn't understand about the resurrection and what Jesus was talking about until it happened. And you go and read about the resurrection of Christ, and the disciples begin to put their faith in Jesus. And what a change. We go from disciples who were cowards, they were hiding away. But when they believed the resurrection, they took the world on, and they set the world on fire. The scripture says they turned it upside down. Look at Peter, that went from denying that he even knew Jesus to preaching that incredible sermon over in Acts chapter 2. And Peter would stand before the Sanhedrin and would not back down. And the other disciples as well, when they were afraid, began to stand up because they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead and kept his promise. He did exactly what he said. And so then he says, as we come to the end of the chapter, he says, hereafter, I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. He said, I've told you these things that you might believe. And you realize that at the crucifixion, they all ran away except for John. It seemed that their world was falling apart, and Jesus said, just believe me. Jesus was preparing them for what was coming in just a matter of hours. And he said, from now on, I'm not going to say much more. He does go on to tell them more in John chapter 15, and we'll be continuing that on in a new series next week. And there Jesus again encourages them and tries to help them. Then he warns them, Satan is coming. He said, the prince of this world, what did he call him? Go back and look at it again. He says, I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Devil's going to do his best. And he's going to try to put Jesus down. We see the work of Satan in all of the crucifixion. And the devil thought he had won when Jesus died on the cross. The devil thought that was it. So did the Sanhedrin. They thought that's done with him. Pilate had even washed his hands. When Jesus died on the cross, he was not finished. He rose from the dead. And he gave us salvation, saved us. Jesus said, now, you listen to me. He said, as the Father gave Eve commandments, so I do. This is coming from the Father. Remember all the way back in the beginning, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. These are my Father's words. And then he said, arise, let's go from here. And from that place in the upper room, the disciples got up from the table, they gathered themselves up, and they began to leave. And as they left, they would begin walking down through a garden, and we'll pick up there in the garden with Jesus next time. Join us again then as we open the scripture and consider his word.
Consider his word.